Hello and welcome to the Dell Technologies Need to Know podcast series, your source for cyber resilience, brought to you in association with VMware and AMD. In this series, we invite leading cybersecurity specialists and experts to probe the key issues and share best practices for combating current and emerging cyber threats. I'm your host, Liz Green, European Advisory and Cyber Leader at Dell Technologies. In today's episode, we'll be meeting with a cyber practitioner and academic to hear about how organizations can learn to understand incident causation and the underlying root cause of a cyber attack. What work is being done in the UK by cyber researchers? How has this research helped to build a safer, more secure internet? And what learnings can we start to apply to our organizations? All this and more we will look to discuss today. I am delighted to be joined by Claire Patterson, PhD researcher at the University of Kent. Claire, thank you for being here today. Lovely to have you.
Thank you very much for inviting me onto your podcast, Liz. I think it's a great series. I'm very pleased to be part of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Claire. Lovely. Great. Well, we'll get straight in if that's okay. And I'll go for a quick background, if you don't mind, a bit more about your work at the University of Kent, getting your PhD. What are you doing, if you don't mind sharing with our listeners?
Certainly. Well, I've worked in IT and security since completing a master's in information security back in the 1990s, when it was really only around it's really the people who were interested were the military and the banks. But over the last 30 years, I've worked as a consultant and in industry. And since last year, I decided to take some time out to do a PhD in cybersecurity at the University of Kent, which is based in the UK. And my research is looking into how can we help organizations learn more from incidents. I'm in the midst of interviewing practitioners to gather their views on how we can improve this. And if any of your listeners are willing to share their views or contribute to this research, it would be great if they could reach out to me on LinkedIn. And the more people I can hear from, the better the research will be.
Absolutely. Hopefully you'll have people flocking to you, Claire, to give you some of the insights. So that would be great. And really delighted to have you here today. I think you're experience in the market as a consultant, as a practitioner, and now kind of doing research is really helpful to have on our podcast. And yeah, really delighted. I think that kind of brings us nicely into my next question, which is in the research you're doing and in your work, looking at the cause of cyber incidents, are there common causes or have you found any common causes for cyber incidents today?
That's a good question because there are lots of individual causes of incidents, but I've found typically that they all stem from having complex and interwoven IT, which is under pressure to deliver more at lower costs with overstretched teams. We have to appreciate that people are adapting all the time, but as the pressure mounts, things will inevitably break or mistakes will be made. And the systems are so complex now that we can't fully understand all the interactions. Businesses are constantly changing with new acquisitions, new products and services, and businesses buying their own IT or developing their own IT as well. So whilst I believe everybody has the best interests at heart, as businesses are pushed by competitive interest industries or other institutions trying to deliver more with constrained resources, they unfortunately get pushed to that edge. And the thing is, attackers only need to get lucky once. As practitioners, it can be quite tempting to be enticed into an illusion of paradise by prevention, where you can have full compliance and full control. But to do full compliance and full control, you'd need complete information about an entirely predictable world with 100% reliable people and systems. And I'm sure our listeners will recognize this is totally unrealistic in the world that most of us operate. So it's clearly that whilst we need to do as much as possible to prevent attacks, otherwise we'd be overwhelmed by responding to them, we need to acknowledge that attacks will happen and we need to become more adaptable and resilient and assume things will go wrong and then build the capacity to recover when they do. And to do this well, I think we have to constantly learn and continuously improve how we adapt and react to the cyber incidents.
That's really helpful, Claire. I have never heard Paradise by Prevention, and I've just written that down because that is a really great tidbit. And I think we see that with a lot of our clients, this desire to prevent all attacks from happening and this recognition that cyber threat actors and cyber criminals only need to be successful once, as you said, and this need to be resilient, which is really what our podcast is all about, building resilience, assuming things will go wrong. How do we better recover from them? And I think, you know, lastly, you touched on that complexity piece, which I completely agree. That does make it even more important to be resilient because it's just too complex for us to have full control or visibility of all the threats. Now, moving into kind of the final question, Claire, it would be really good from your work if you were okay to share how you think leaders can better learn from and apply learnings after a cyber attack.
Yeah, sure. Well, when we talk about learning from incidents, we have to understand we all create our own narratives around what causes incidents. Some might blame the users, others blame suppliers, but we have to recognize that mistakes will be made. We're all responsible for the system, in the widest sense, which enables a mistake or some unforeseen circumstance to lead to an incident. The reality is that it's pretty unlikely that people or systems will ever become more reliable or predictable tomorrow. We need to recognize that there's a big difference between willful negligence or intentional harm, which is pretty rare. You do occasionally get it from insiders, but it's still pretty rare. But what's much more common is the natural failability of the complex systems that we've created. And that, as I mentioned earlier, that competitive pressure or that drive to do more with fewer people in less time. So we really need to channel the curiosity about what in the systems enabled the incident to have the impact it had. Because we can very quickly jump on a simple technical cause, such as the system wasn't patched or the users are our weakest link. Therefore, we need more awareness training, or it's the businesses or central ITs or the supplier's fault for not patching or upgrading the system. But I think what we need to do instead is assume that the decisions that were made at the time made sense to the people who made them, based on what they knew at the time and the priorities that they were trying to balance. And then we need to dig into the underlying causes that enabled those circumstances that led to them making those choices. Because we can be very clever in hindsight, but we need to see things from the perspective people had at the time when they were creating those circumstances. And what we find is there's rarely one so-called root cause, but often several contributory factors. And teams need to then think how changing these factors could have the biggest impact on preventing future incidents and what's going to give them the best resilience, assuming that we're likely to face similar issues and the reality that people and systems will be just as, you know, unreliable in the future as they were in the past. But to do this very informative causal analysis requires the right facilitation. You need to give teams that psychological safety where they can admit to the pressures without feeling that they personally will be singled out. And leaders need to encourage teams to see that errors are part of a normal everyday working system where people are trying very hard to do what they need to do and understand why the overall system wasn't resilient to an error, which is easier said than done because leaders need to balance messaging around accountability and ownership whilst also recognising what can we reasonably expect people to know and to do. And the other thing is companies need to ensure you have the right people participating in identifying the causes and determining the lessons. If it's just restricted to incident response teams, you're likely to get purely technical causes or blaming on users, human error, suppliers not following policies. And also, in fairness to the incident response team, they have limited scope to address the underlying causes. I think, Liz, in earlier episodes, you covered how security relies on the village and the ecosystem. And I think that's also relevant for how you learn the lessons. Different people will bring different perspectives on the cause. And really importantly, they bring more innovative options that you can buy into when you want to make improvements that have the biggest impact on your resilience. So I think the trouble is few companies actually evaluate how well they learn from incidents. How many do you know actually ask themselves, are the lessons learned really making a difference to the number of incidents that we're experiencing? The reality is busy teams often struggle to find the time to do post-incident reviews or look at recurring themes of incidents. But they get themselves trapped because by carving some time out and stepping back and seeing what needs to change can actually, in the end, reduce the workload. So I think for me, good learning from incidents needs leaders who involve the right people and set the right approach to learning to really make a difference.
That's really helpful, Claire. And I think I've taken lots of notes. I think one thing that's come through is this kind of cultural attitude around applying learnings after a cyber attack, and that it comes down to people and leadership. But it sounds like also moving outside of the tactical into more strategic considerations. So why was the culture such a way that this attack happened, and how can we change that? Or what did we choose not to prioritize? And I think also it sounds like taking the blame out of specific people or technologies and really working collaboratively as a team, as an organization, and then, as you said, with ecosystem around you, partners, vendors, consultants, to all work together to make the organization more resilient for the next form of threat, be it cyber or otherwise. So really great to have you here. Lots we've learned. A few things I've noted that I just wanted to kind of close and recap. The first is getting a PhD in cybersecurity is cool. Those in the field should consider it, just like Claire. And I'm sure Claire would be willing to chat with you. And obviously, she also needs some support with data points. So please reach out to Claire. In a recent study by InfoSec Institute, estimates there's a shortage of nearly 3 million cyber professionals in the workplace. And it's worth saying only 11% of the cybersecurity workforce are women. So it'd be great to see more women enter this field, be it getting a PhD or, you know, stepping into a variety of other roles. So that's one point. The second is it's really interesting, Claire, to hear about the human errors that lend to cyber incidents. I think we so often feel that threat actors sit countries away and our biggest threat is almost too difficult to really defend against. But looking at human behaviors and helping to educate and empower people within our business and businesses to mitigate risk and build resilience is key, I think, as well. And then lastly, just really helpful to hear about how leaders can apply learnings and failings after an incident to make their organizations more secure. So Claire, again, very lovely to have you here. Thanks for joining. For those listening, in future episodes, we are going to be joined by experts who will share their unique and varied insights into what your organization needs to know to build greater levels of cyber resilience. Thank you for listening, and hope you join us next time. The series has been brought to you in association with VMware and AMD.